to the Practical Prophetic, where prophetic ministry is made practical. I'm Beth Wingate, I'm your host, and welcome to the podcast. On our podcast today, we are going to talk about Where's Waldo and Jesus. So my kids used to love the Waldo books, Where's Waldo? And we had a giant picture book, and it would have different scenes, like a beach scene with a crowd, and you would have to find Waldo hidden in the book. And in the beach on that scene, there would be one of like maybe a park, one of the zoo, and there would be all these crowds, and then you would have to find this character, Waldo. I think most of you are probably familiar with the Waldo books. And so he wore this red striped shirt, this red and white striped shirt. And there would be, you know, tons of people wearing the red and white striped shirt. So it was easy to mistake Waldo for some of the other characters in the crowd. And so you would really have to hunt through these books. And my kids, man, it would keep them busy forever. In fact, we had some little Waldo toys, and then we would hide it, you know, around the house and things like that just for fun. But it got me curious about the Waldo books. And interestingly enough, Waldo was not his original name. The illustrator Martin Hanford in 1986 was doing a project right out of college for a book publisher that he worked for, and they asked him to do crowd scenes. And they were sort of just these illustrated, whimsical crowd scenes, and he decided to put a character in the scenes because he thought readers would find it fun, those that caught on, to find the little missing guy. And his original name was Wally. So it was Where's Wally? And these books were popular in England and the UK. At first, it was known over there as Where's Wally? And then later, when they published them in the United States around the early 90s, he took on the name Where's Waldo? So that's sort of just a little bit of history about the Where's Waldo book. But the reason I chose this title is because we have, at times, as Christians, seemingly lost Jesus in the crowd, just like Waldo. And we have things that look like Jesus, but sometimes he's really hard to find in the crowd. You know, the Waldo books, you would have to search really hard to find him because, like I said, there would be many characters with the red and white stripes or the little round glasses or the hat. He had like this triangle-shaped hat. And so you would think you had found Waldo, but no, it was an imposter. And under closer inspection, you would discover that's not actually Waldo, and you would have to look a little closer. Well, that's the way it is today in modern Christianity. It's as if Jesus has been hidden in the crowd, and we have a lot of imposters, but you can't really find him. You have to really look for him. But here's the wonderful thing. Once you can spot Waldo in the book, maybe on the beach scene or the park scene, you can go to him. You can see him right away every time after that, and he's no longer a mystery to you. You can easily find him and identify him once you've made that initial, you know, positive identification. And so I'm still reflecting on that Super Bowl commercial. I've just heard so many people talking about it. I heard Sean Foyt talking about it, and Allie Beth Stuckey, I mentioned her last time. And so I've got some thoughts I would like to bring, and I want to kind of tie that into the object lesson of Where's Waldo, with really the better question is, where is Jesus among the Christians today? Pastor Beverly always says, where's Jesus in the church? Because oftentimes we have things that look like Jesus, but it's not always the Jesus of the Bible. And so I want to get into that. I'm going to go through the Romans road of salvation. We're going to take a basic look at doctrine, and we're going to discover who the real Jesus is and why he sometimes seems to be hiding in plain sight, because we have crowded him out with imposters and busyness and things that are just not authentic. And so really, that's where I want to go with the conversation today. So this Super Bowl commercial is called He Gets Us. And I have to admit, I've only briefly watched the commercial. I really became kind of annoyed with it, to be honest with you. But it's basically depicts Jesus washing the feet of people who have alternative lifestyles and are clearly, you know, sinful, which, by the way, let me just state the obvious here. We want all who have sinned to come to know Jesus. And I believe once they're born again, then through discipleship, the Lord can do a work in their heart. I don't have expectations of sinners. I've said this before. But I do have an expectation of believers once they come to know the Lord and begin to know His Word. And I'll just sort of leave it right there. But, I think Sean Foyt said it the best. Jesus didn't wash everybody's feet. And so we need to really know what we believe. And sin is a pretty big topic that we can't just brush past it. We can't dress it up and make it something it's not. Sin is what separates mankind from God. And Jesus is the reconciliation. And so I just want to take us through the Romans road, take us through some scriptures, and I want us to really look at why this may be bothering some of us so much, and where is Jesus among the Christians? Where's Jesus in the church today? Just like that Where's Waldo book. In 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 5 and read through about verse 10, because I just want to let the Word of God speak truth for us. It says, starting in verse 5, This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's the key verse right there. I'll read it one more time. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. And you know, that just really says everything. That says everything that we need to know. The reason the commercial bothers a lot of people is there was no acknowledgement of sin. There was no confession and repentance of sin before accepting Christ. And that's a key component. I'm just going to take us straight through the Romans road of salvation. If you're not familiar, I'll put a link in the description box, but this is just a simple tool based out of the book of Romans in your Bible, where you go through several scriptures, key scriptures in the book of Romans, to help lead someone to Christ, a very basic tool. And so every believer needs to know how to do this. You know, one of the things that sets us apart as Christians is that we are commanded to evangelize, to share our faith, to proselytize. It is key. A lot of people aren't doing that, but they need to be doing that. And so I'm just going to take us through the Romans road of salvation. And I think you will find this hopefully very interesting. It starts in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We need to recognize that we are sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't pretend that you're not a sinner. In fact, we just went back to 1 John and he clarified, if we do that, we deceive ourselves. So this is a key component of receiving salvation, which in verse 23, part B says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm just going to keep going through the Romans road. I'm going to let it do all the talking for me, and then I'll come back and make some commentary. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. Romans 10:3 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, wow. There's a lot there to unpack, actually, because a lot of people get the confession part, but they don't always have the belief part. And then others get the belief part, but they don't have the confession part. And it really takes both parts. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is a gift open to everyone. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then in Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I have just taken you through the most direct path of the Romans road. That is all the scriptures that clearly lay out the plan of salvation. You can get little charts and pictures and little, you know, step one, step two that will break those down for you. Just Google the Romans Road of Salvation, Romans Road of Salvation map. You know, some of them are called maps and they'll have a little map that breaks them down for you. But I'm seeing things today in the world that really disturb me. We're seeing a soft gospel and a soft Jesus that is not quite hitting the mark, because we have to call sin, sin. That's a key component. You have to confess your sins in order to be saved. But in order to confess your sins, you have to know what sin is. And so we cannot ignore sin. The Bible clearly tells us if we try to do that, we only deceive ourselves. And so that's why that bothers me so much. You know, today in the modern church, we have a lot of things that look like Jesus. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is something that has split the Methodist denomination in half. It has torn away at the Episcopal denomination, and it's in the process of tearing up the Baptist denomination. So these are serious topics that we need to sort out as quote-unquote Christians. Yes, God is a loving God, but he also has come to set you free from sin, and he comes through his word to judge sin. And sin is a key component of understanding faith. You have to be able to identify sin, and the Bible does that for us. It's very clear that through Jesus, though, we can be set free. He will cover our sins with the blood of Jesus, the innocent lamb who was crucified in our place. And so, you know, when we go in some of these churches that have become what I call quote-unquote woke, They're presenting a Jesus that is not in the Bible. In fact, it's another Jesus being preached. This is not the authentic Jesus being preached. It's like when you're looking for Waldo in those little books and you see something that looks real close to Waldo, but upon closer inspection, you can realize, oh, wait, that's just some other guy in a red and white striped shirt and a hat similar to Waldo, but that's not Waldo. And so it's the same thing. We see a lot of things in the church today that look a lot like Jesus. This Jesus that washes the feet of someone who has not confessed their sins and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it's not quite hitting the mark. And so I really just wanted to bring this to our attention that we know what we believe and that we stand firm in our faith based on the Word of God and what it says. There has to be repentance of sin to be a Christian. And that means you have to acknowledge what sin is. And sin is anything that separates us from the love of God. And we were born into sin, and that's why we need a Savior. And so, and Jesus came the first time as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion to judge this world. And there will be a reckoning. You know, people sometimes say, well, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? Or why would, you know, children be abused and things like this? Well, That goes back to an issue of dominion, and Adam handed over dominion of this world to Satan. And Jesus is coming back to set it right. And so we have to have a clear understanding of the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is truth. And Jesus is truth, and Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is truth. They're all the same. And so we need to know what the Bible says about truth. And the Bible is very clear about sin. And so I hate to keep harping on this, but it's so important that we understand that sin and redemption and the work of Jesus on the cross, these are not small, insignificant details. You know, I'm big on the quote that says by St. Augustine that says, in essentials, we must have unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. But now, what we're seeing today in our world with ads like this Super Bowl ad is this is now a question of essential doctrine. So we cannot agree on this. There is no consensus. There is no compromise on the message of salvation, which is essential to our faith. You know, we can debate over the timing of the rapture. We can debate on some of prophecy issues in the Bible. There's things that we can debate about. We could even debate about the role of women in the church. That's debatable. But salvation, the core gospel message, is essential, and it is not up for debate. That has been settled by Jesus Christ and His Word and His work on the cross. And we have to hold firm to the essential doctrines of our faith. And so when I look at my kids' little Waldo book, I see some patterns here in the church today that are really concerning. So here's what I'm going to implore you as a firm believer. I'm going to implore you to do some very basic things. Number one, to get in your Word. Get in your Word. Know what the Word of God says for yourself. Romans is an excellent book to get in. Know what the Bible says for yourself. Understand the most basic, essential part of your faith, and really know it. The second thing I will implore you to do is to pray. We need to begin to intercede for churches and for the world around us. We're in a war right now. We're in a war for truth and a war for culture and a war for this next generation. So I'm going to tell you, it's time to get serious. It's time to up your prayer game. The third thing I'm going to implore you to do is what Moses taught us in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. He continually told them, teach these things to your children. Teach the next generation. Teach, teach, teach. Once you learn, share. Share your faith. Teach. Share the gospel. And then really that just spills right into my fourth point, which is evangelism. You know, part of the reason we're in the mess we're in today is the church got focused on some of the wrong things. We got away from the essentials. We got into things that really abandoned some of our essential core things, and evangelism being chief among them. And so I've got a whole series on prophetic evangelism where God can prophetically lead you in evangelism. But the most important thing is to share your faith. And when you share your personal testimony, that is powerful. In fact, the Word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power in your testimony. And then the last thing I'm going to implore you to do is to live a Christ-centered life, to just be an example, to be a light in a dark place, to let love lead you. You know, we see that these kind of commercials come seemingly from a good place of love. But you know what? Out of quote-unquote love, just let my kids do anything they wanted to do, that's not always loving, because there are some things they might want to do that are dangerous for them. You know, my son, he likes to drive fast. And if I just allowed him to drive, you know, wide open everywhere he went, that's not a loving thing. That's quite dangerous. And so we need to look at what real love is. Real love cares, and cares enough to sometimes say no. In fact, one of the marks of maturity is how you handle a no in your life. When you don't get what you want, how do you respond? That's the mark of maturity, is being able to take a no with grace and dignity and integrity. So I'm just going to go back over these really quick. I'm going to tell you that this was what was on my heart today, and I really just had to share it with my podcast audience, that just like those Waldo books, sometimes it feels like Jesus is hidden in the church. You know, we get focused on books and programs and this and that and music and, whatever the latest trend and fad is about relational, you know, sometimes it's social at church. But really, when we come to church, we come together because Jesus is at the center of it. And so I want to encourage you to put Jesus back in the center of your life. You know, recently I had a dinner with a lot of Christians, and it was fine. It was very social. It was casual. But I was a little disappointed because there wasn't enough spiritual conversation. And I want Jesus to be the center of my conversations. I want to talk about the things of the Lord. And it maybe just didn't, what the opportunity may not have presented itself, and that's okay. But I want Jesus to be the center of everything I do. When I turn on music, I want it to be worship music and praise music. And this is not a conversation or debate about music. Me and Pastor Matt did several episodes where we've kind of dove into that topic and things like that. But I'm just telling you, the desire of my heart is that I want Jesus to be the center of everything. I'm not perfect at it, but that's my desire, is to put Jesus at the center of my life, where he's easily seen and easily identified. And so I just want to leave this podcast with you this week as food for thought, that Jesus is clear and present in your life, and he's not hidden, he's not obscured by copycats. He's easy to be seen, easy to be found in your life. So let your light shine as you go about your week. I hope this message blesses and encourages you. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll be informed next time I post. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.